Hello, friends. I am excited to bring you another agent interview today with Cecilia Lira of The Rights Factory. She is wonderful, and we will get to know her in a little bit. But first, I want to talk to you about my favorite book of the week. Now, this is a book that if you are in the writing community on Twitter, I mean, it's ginormous, so you might not have seen it, but this is why I'm telling you about it. It is called Beaconfield by Bree R. Leclerc. And I could be saying that wrong, and I do apologize, Brie. I'm terrible at pronouncing hard to pronounce names. This is a book that she actually self-published, and it has the most beautiful cover, the most amazing blurb that you could ever want. And I got my copy yesterday, and I'm super excited. And I think you all need to check out Brie and check out the book. Her last name is spelled L-E-C-L-E-R-C. Follow her on Twitter, and let me read you the blurb really quick. After living in the shadow of her parents for as long as she can remember, it's time for Marigold Wilder to make her own choices. When her grandfather passes away, Mari is adamant about attending his funeral, even with her parents dead set against it. She packs a bag and heads for Beaconfield. But the old maritime town isn't the summer home she remembers. A bizarre series of disturbing events unfold, reuniting Mari with her childhood crush, Ridge, and forcing the two of them to unearth the town's haunting past. As they grow closer, Mari and Ridge unwittingly take on the responsibility of solving a decades-old mystery as they work together to decipher an ancient family tree. With time running out, they need to work fast before the funeral Mari came to Beaconfield to attend becomes her own. Now, I will be honest, I haven't finished the book yet, but I already love it, and I'm about halfway done. So, this is one of my rare, I'm halfway through the book and I love it, favorite books of the week. So, I think you guys all need to check out Beaconfield by Bree. I'm not going to try and butcher her last name again. And make sure to review it and share about it and let Bree know how much you love it. I don't really have a lit chit chat for you guys this week. My husband has been out of town all week and I'm tired. So, you know how that goes, right? If you're a parent, you know how that goes. But he comes home tomorrow, so we're gonna be good. So, let's get to know Cecilia. She is a literary agent at the Rights Factory. She has had a lifelong love of books and storytelling, like a lot of us, right? Her childhood insomnia led to her reading loads of books at night, and you get to hear us talk about how you can't be a writer or a storyteller without being a reader. Sorry, guys, it's just not possible. And she talks a lot about queries and what she's looking for, and if you are interested in getting to know her and having the opportunity to query her, this is a really great resource just to get to know her better and what she is looking for. So let's go ahead and get to know Cecilia. My first question for you is, what drew you to publishing and being a literary agent?
I feel like for most people, it's a love of storytelling, and that's what it was for me. I've always loved storytelling. It's always been my greatest passion, I guess you could say, even more than chocolate. And I love chocolate. I don't. <my first. laughs> Being an agent was a good fit for me, specifically because people just call me like a walking contradiction, right? Like on one hand, I'm very supportive and positive with my friends, but at the same time, I love to argue, and I'm very litigious, I guess you could say. It sounds like these two things don't go well together, but yeah, they do in my case. So I have a legal background. I used to be a lawyer, so I get to bring my legal background and put it to good use when it comes time to negotiate a deal and get the very best deal for my clients. And I also get to tap into my my tendency to enjoy positivity and to support people, and, you know, I work with my authors. And above all, storytelling, right? Like, what I love to do is read stories, be around stories, gather stories. So I'm mindful of how lucky I am to work with something that I'm so passionate about.
Definitely. I was reading, your little blurb that your agency has online. And I was like, what? She was a lawyer? That's so awesome. And I think it does it. It allows you, you're a walking contradiction, but in a good way. You know, you have a, you know, a diverse background, which helps in what you're doing right now, because you can help your authors and working out contracts and all of that, which is a, definitely a benefit for your clients.
Yeah, I definitely strive to be the best agent I can be. And, you know, the walking contradiction card, probably not the best for the people in my life, like my partner and my sister. I'm like, who am I talking to? Is it a lawyer or is it a really nice person?
Right, right.
I'm like, it's always both, but I have to wear different hats. I enjoy it, though. I enjoy the walking contradiction. I have no complaints.
That's awesome. Well, we're, I'm glad that you are where you're at and that you, chocolate is amazing too. I love chocolate about as much as books, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, tell us about that love of storytelling, that love of books. Has that been with you your whole entire life, or how did that begin for you?
My whole life. Even before I knew how to read, people would read to me, my parents, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles. And my father was a gifted storyteller. He wouldn't even use the book. Sometimes he would read from a book, and then he would take the main characters, and he would, like the next few days, he would tuck us in, by us, I mean my sister and me. He would just tell stories that he would make up using those same characters. And sometimes he would just make up the characters out of thin air. At the time, I didn't know what he was doing with fan fiction, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't think he knew either, but, you know, now I know. He's just such an imaginative person, and, you know, I used to beg him to tuck us in. I used to be like, Dad, could you please tuck us in? You know, it's not that my mom did a bad job. She was great, but she would read some books, and I enjoyed that very much, but I had heard that book before. Whereas with my dad, it was always a new story. And he had a wild imagination. And, you know, before I fell asleep, I'd embark on adventures. That being said, I've always struggled with insomnia. So sometimes I just wouldn't fall asleep. Ever since I was a child, I remember staring at the ceiling for hours, waiting for the time to go by. It was awful. And then one day I had a thought. I said, you know, why not read? I had a book from the library. I picked it up. I turned on my nightlight. And I just read it in one night. And after that, it became a habit. I would always have a library book with me. If I couldn't sleep, if insomnia was acting up, instead of fighting it, I would just read. I don't know how good that was for my brain development, but it's definitely good for my love of storytelling.
Yes. I love it. I think, you know, our parents and, you know, siblings and grandparents and all of that have such a, you know, profound influence on us at that age, of course. But that's one thing I remember as a child too, was just reading books, watching my dad read books, having him read us books. It was all about books, basically. I was that kid who took a book everywhere with me in case I got bored at like a party or at dinner or something like that. And I love that you found a way to like use your insomnia time and read books. I think that's, you know, clever.
Yeah, it's like a portal to another world, yes. Right? That's what the book does. And it's just, I carry magic around with me. Like, I always tell people this. I always say, like, have you noticed that we walk around with magic? Like,
I mean, it truly is magic. I'm like, if you think about it, like, your dad coming up with his own characters and his own story, like, it's so creative and it's just magical to have all these stories in your head and all the books that are published and how different they are, or all of that is pretty incredible. Well, I love getting to know you a little bit better. Let's go ahead and chat about queries, because, you know, everybody wants to hear about queries. So
absolutely, yes. Absolutely. And I know there's a lot of controversy over queries, so hit me up.
There is. So in your opinion, do you think queries need to stick to the specified formula? Now, this isn't your agency's submission guidelines, because those should always be followed, right? But this is the, you know, basic idea of not pulling any weird punches or trying to, you know, like, be gimmicky, I guess, with your query, and just including the who, what, why, and stakes, and, you know, the title, word count, those simple things. What are your thoughts on that?
I like that you made the distinction between, you know, submission guidelines and query creativity, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Because, yes, following the guidelines is a must. always research every agent's guidelines. But it's like you said, everybody knows, right? So in terms of being flexible with the query and being more creative, I feel like I sometimes get queries, most of the queries I get are quite straightforward, and I appreciate that. It works well. Sometimes I do get queries that are, you know, a bit more creative, and sometimes it works really well. Like, the author's personality just shines, and it makes me chuckle, and I enjoy it. But sometimes it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
It feels gimmicky. It feels divisive. It feels like the author is trying to make a joke. And sometimes it's just, you know, borderline inappropriate. And so, I guess, you know, there's no hard, fast rule. What I would say is be true to who you are. Like, chances are, if you're somebody who is actually quite good at making jokes and comfortable making jokes, if you're making a joke that's related to your book and that you feel like it resonates well, I feel like you should listen to that gut instinct and go ahead and do it. But I don't think that you should try to be funny, right? Like, that's not the moment. Like,
yeah.
And I will never look at a straightforward query and be like, oh my gosh, this rubbed me the wrong way. Like, this was offensive. This troubled me. But I might do that with a query that's, you know, coloring outside the lines. So I guess be true to your own style. I know that it's vague advice, but I genuinely think that it's the best advice I can give someone.
I think that that's great advice, though, because I think, so, you know, sometimes people think gimmicky is the way to go just to, like, stand out, even if it's not, has, you know, anything to do with their story or their book or their own voice or anything like that. So it is good advice. Like, if gimmicky is not right for you, don't do it. Because otherwise it'll come off that way.
Absolutely. Especially because the thing that should stand out is the writing.
Yeah.
The writing.
Yeah, not the humor, like the sarcastic way it's written in, right?
Yeah, no, I meant the writing, like the actual pages.
Yeah.
Like, that's all that matters at the end of the day. Like, it's a great query letter, one that's polished and grammatical and, you know, stylistically correct and great. But all I care about is the writing. It's your pages, it's your actual novel or nonfiction novel.
Yes.
If you can't write a query letter, that's fine. That's not your job. Like, you should be able to convey the proper information, but you're not you're not trying to get a literary agent to represent your query letter. You're trying to get a literary agent to represent your book. And so if your book is well written, if those first 10 pages, I ask for 10 pages, if those first 10 pages are well written, then you will stand out. You don't need a joke. You don't need a gimmick.
That's good, a good reminder for people, because I think, you know, of course there's a lot of emphasis put on the query letter because, like you said, it needs to convey the basic idea. And, you know, with some of the agents and agencies that only ask for a query letter to start, that's when it can feel like super important, right? You send the query letter in no pages, but I think it's a totally different type of writing. It's like a sales type of writing, pretty much, and
yeah,
very different.
Right? Like, you're being an advertiser. And yes, you're right. I hadn't thought of the agencies that don't ask for pages. I personally don't understand how they can evaluate something without the pages. I'm sure
yeah.
it works for them. Great. But I go straight to the writing. Like, I get a general idea. This genre, so many words, this is the central conflict or premise. And then I just go to the writing. I just need to know if the person can write.
Right. Because that is what it's all about. If their, you know, 300-page book isn't good, then it doesn't matter if the query letter is the best one you've ever seen.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
So you asked for 10 pages, but is there anything in a query that, like, sometimes, like, trips you up and is, like, a no-no, like, your number one query no-no in just the actual query letter?
Very few things would make me stop reading. I usually try to give each and every query a fair chance. It's the least I can do because I know that to query an agent is to make oneself vulnerable.
Yeah.
Most queries do result in rejection. That's just the reality, whether tacit rejection or an explicit rejection. So I guess the least I can do is keep the time to read every single line that the author, you know, sends my way. I really respect, like, how brave an author is to query an agent. So I guess one thing that would make me stop reading immediately is if, so sometimes people will warn me. They'll say, and they'll be so nice about this, and I feel so bad, but and they say, I saw your bio, I heard that you can't handle stories where the dog dies. I'm really sorry to say, but a dog does die, or a dog gets hurt, and I'm like, I'm really sorry, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do, my mental health. Like, I can't handle it. So I guess that made me stop reading.
Why would someone send you that if it says it in your bio?
Well, you know, I actually prefer that they, send it to me in general, I don't know.
Yeah.
But at least they're warning me, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I registered this, and then oh my gosh, I would start crying.
I can't handle dogs dying either. That would make me too sad.
Right? Like, if you're going to write a dog, if it's nonfiction, I can even understand because it actually happened. But if it's fiction, can't the dog just be happy and loved?
Right.
Well, let's do that.
My husband made me watch the Keanu Reeves movies where the dog dies at the beginning, like, in the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie, and I was so upset. Started crying. I'm like, what is this movie? I was like, I can't watch this.
Yeah, I totally know what movie you're talking about. Yeah, and then there's a few. Like, it's a trilogy now, I think. Or maybe there's only, I don't know. But I'm like, no, he's always protecting the dog, which I appreciate.
Yes.
I get that. I think it's beautiful.
Well,
but at the same time, I don't want to see dogs getting hurt, ever.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. So good. So no dogs dying. That's something that will make you stop reading. And what other things in first pages, will maybe not make you stop reading? Because, you know, the whole 10 pages, but that are like a really big red flag for you.
Again, I will rarely stop reading. I do try to read every single submission to the end, the least I can do. But... So this is actually true. So if somebody, and this happens to me a lot, if I get a submission for a genre I don't represent, I won't read it. Like, oftentimes, like, this happens, I don't know, maybe like 20 emails a day. This is a YA sci-fi novel. It's just right in my bio. I don't represent YA. I don't represent sci-fi. I think it's amazing that you wrote a YA sci-fi book, but I'm not the agent for you.
Yeah.
I would stop reading if it's a genre that I don't represent. If it's a genre that I do represent, I guess the writing would have to be quite poor for me to stop reading, but that almost never happens. I really genuinely do try because it's also a first draft. Like, I'm mindful of that.
Yeah.
A good agent will understand that they're not reading a published novel or nonfiction title. They're reading a draft. So it's about the potential. It's about, and it's very important that the author polish it and make it as good as it can possibly be, but we understand that it's a draft. So, I generally don't stop reading.
I like it. I like that you give everybody a chance and what they send you. And it is such a vulnerable thing that you do to send a query. Like, it's nerve-wracking every single time you do it, whether it's, like, the fifth query you've sent or the 100th query you've sent. It always feels nerve-wracking. So I love that you give everybody a chance.
Yeah. I so admire authors. Like, I about it, like, the anxiety that I'm sure most authors feel, sending their baby out into the world, right?
Yeah.
And being like, hey, will somebody please help me raise this child, essentially. Like, it's a book, but essentially that's what they're asking. And it's like, if they're rejected, it's awful, and that's what usually happens. So the least I can do is give it a chance, right? So that I actually know whether or not it's good enough, for my standards anyway.
Yes, I like that. I like, it is like a baby. It is like the, you know, it's always like a little piece of your heart that you send out there. So what is your favorite thing to see in a query? What's like something that just gets you really excited?
Oh, this is a very easy question. Okay, so my favorite thing is a good comp. So there's this beautiful book. It's our agency. There's an agent. Her name is Cassie at The Rights Factory. She represents an author called Bianca Murray, who wrote two beautiful novels, and one of them is called Hum If You Don't Know the Words. And it was pitched, if I'm not mistaken, it was pitched as The Help Meets The Secret Life of Bees.
Ooh.
And that's a great comp, because with one line, you already understand where this book fits in the publishing universe. You have a sense of a story. Like, obviously, you still need to read more to fully understand it, but when you say that, it just works. So there's also this great book called My Lovely Wife, and I believe it was pitched as Dexter meets Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And that one line is so genius because you immediately know what you're talking about, serial killer couple. And of course, you still need to know other things. You still need to know what the central conflict is. You still need to know if the writing is good enough. But a comp can go a long way in a fairy letter, and it's so important. I also understand that not all authors can come up with comps. And I also understand that not all books, you can't always find a good comp for every draft in every book. And that's okay. But if you can, really take the time to try to understand, you know, what would be a good comp for your book. And if you can't find a good comp, maybe say something like, this will appeal to fans of, and then, you know, mention the title.
Yeah.
But don't do it unless you truly believe that it's true. Like, this is so important. I often, like, whatever book is big at the moment, I always get a whole bunch of comps saying, this will appeal to fans of, and then they mention that title. And if it's not true, we will know from the first pages. And really, it's just frustrating, right? So only do it if it's truly good fit.
I think that is something that, you know, I didn't really realize a lot when, like, a few years ago when I queried a novel, like, comps. I was like, yeah, comps. I, you know, had this story that was kind of one of those ones where I was like, I don't really know what a good comp is for it right now. But I think there's been such a great emphasis put on it. And I think that you're right. When you can do a really good comp, or even in the vein of, or for fans of, it can really help you as an agent just get a little excited, like, and know a little bit more about what you're getting into, which I think is really helpful. And it shows that the author's done some research, right, on the market and what's going on.
Yeah, and also because they're readers. Like, that's, you know what, to go back to your previous question, that is something that will put me off immediately. I once got one query, to be fair, it was only one of the thousands of queries I received. said, I'm not really a reader, but I love to write. And I was like, no.
You can't do that. No. Yeah.
Like, there is no such thing as a writer who is not a reader as well. I actually think you should be a reader first, but, you know, fine. If you want to be a writer first, that's okay. But you must be a reader. It's so important.
You have to. I think I was talking to my dad the other day, and he, because, you know, I get a lot of books that are coming out beforehand and get to read them, which is always just so amazing. And he's like, but I bet you, like, learn a lot from reading those books, right? Like, for your writing. I'm like, of course, you know, you, even if you're not sitting there analyzing every single sentence and comma and whatever, you just see the wonderful way that other authors put things together. And I totally agree. I don't think you can be a writer, or, like, a very good one, unless you read a lot.
Yeah, you can be literate. You can write. That's literally write. That's it. You can't be a good storyteller. I'm sorry, but this is the one rule. I'm always like, well, there are exceptions. Everybody's different. This is the one time where I'm going to go, like, nope, you need to be a reader as well.
Yes, I totally agree with you. Well, would you have any tips or golden rules for authors who are currently querying or getting ready to start that query process?
I guess my first tip would be, make sure your manuscript is as good as it can possibly be. Do not make the mistake of being super anxious and just wanting to get this over with. If you just finish your manuscript, put it inside a drawer. I mean, it's going to be a computer probably, but, like, close that file, spend 2 weeks, maybe a month doing something else, and then go back to it and edit it again and again and again. Once you feel like it's as good as it can possibly be, and I understand that it's very frustrating to rewrite, but it is important, then I guess keep the query short and simple. Make sure that the crux of your story stands out, the central conflict, the thing that will keep the reader turning the pages. That should be clear to me in the query. Something else that I think really helps, if you read pitch copy from published books, and you can learn how to write pitch copy, and it's so important for a good query. So essentially what that means is, you pick up books that you love and you turn them around, and just read the back of the book or the inside jacket sometimes. And, you know, you figure out how that publicist or editor, whoever wrote that, sold that story. They should give you just enough that you are enticed and curious, but not too much that you know what's going to happen. So that's also a very valuable skill. Something else I would say is, in terms of the author bio, don't say anything beyond the basics unless it's very important to you personally for your identity, then absolutely, or unless it's very relevant to your story. Like, I sometimes get author bios that are, like, 3 paragraphs long.
Oh,
like,
boy.
I once got one 900-word long.
No.
And I did not know all this. I don't need your resume. Like, again, if you're sharing a part of you that's about your identity, I appreciate it, and then you should go ahead and do that. And if you're sharing a part of you that's relevant to your story, I also get that. So, for example, I got a great query the other day, and the story was about a nurse working at a hospital who goes through an ethical dilemma. The author was or is a nurse working at a hospital. So I love that. Like, I immediately want to know, great, because there's more authenticity to your story. You're actually coming from a place where you know what you're talking about. So that's relevant. But I don't need to know every single detail about your life. And it's not because you're not interesting. It's just because we don't have time, right? Like, we it's about your story. It's not about you. It's about your story.
I think those are all great advice. One thing I just thought of that I'm curious to hear your opinion on is, so, you know, keeping your query short and simple, do you want it? I've heard some different things from different agents, so that's why I'm asking, but how do you feel about having the ending in the query? Like, knowing the whole story?
That, to me, is a big no-no.
Okay.
Unless an agent requests a synopsis, never put the ending. Like, a synopsis should have the ending because it should be your story beat by beat.
Right.
But if it's just a pitch, and that's what I ask for, I say, I want a pitch, I want your author bio, you know, and I think for 10 pages, I don't want to know the ending to your story. I want to read it as a reader first to see if I'm sufficiently excited to see if I'm reading the end. I do know a lot of agents that ask for it, though, but they specifically ask for it. My advice, unless the agent says the word synopsis, or unless the agent specifically says, I want to know the ending, I would not include that. I don't know if that's good advice or not. It's good advice in terms of whoever's querying me, but I don't think you should include it. It is such a big reveal.
It is such a big reveal, and I was kind of surprised when I heard that. I was like, what? I feel like that's always been like a no-no rule to not include the ending, but it does make sense. If they're asking for a synopsis, of course, then, you know, they want to know. But I was just curious to see what your opinion was on that.
Yeah, I actually know agents who ask for synopses, but they don't look at them. They just want, like, once they're done with the manuscript, they want to go back to the synopsis to make sure that the author has all the beats. Like, it's a useful tool to have, but they first read the pages. Like, I get wanting it, but to me, if you ruin the ending, you're like, no, no, no. You know what? Maybe I'm just way too passionate about storytelling. But,
right.
Like, to me, this is a job, but at the same time, it's something I love so much that I'm such a purist when it comes to these things. I'm like, I do not want to know the ending. Don't ruin it for me. It should be fun for me. Like, I do this because it's something that I believe in, but ultimately it's a passion. It's something I love. Like, I do not ruin the thing I love by telling me the ending.
Exactly. I feel that way too. I feel like I would be upset and like affronted if I was like, oh no, you just told me how it ends, the big reveal. Like, I want to have that experience too of like, I love to just pick up a book and, you know, arcs that I get. I love to pick it up without going and seeing what the blurb is and just experiencing it from the beginning without any knowledge. That's my favorite sometimes, because that's when I feel like the most immersed in the story and shocked by what happens.
Yeah, I get that.
So my second part of that question is, how would your, you know, tips or golden rules change for previously self-published authors who are querying you?
Let me preface this by saying that I have so much respect and admiration for self-published authors. So if I see a self-published author in my inbox, like a query from one in my inbox, I automatically think, this person is so brave and so talented because they made a book come to life all by themselves. So I do admire that very much. That being said, it is a specific situation. So number one, it's important that the self-published author be submitting new work. Do not send me your previously self-published manuscript because publishers won't be interested in it.
Yeah.
I don't like that's the reality, but it is the reality. I can't change that. I'm just a literary agent, right? Like, I don't own the publishing industry. So that's very important. The second thing is, if you want to say things like, I have an impressive sales record, then specify the figures. To be clear, you're under no obligation to tell me what your sales are, but then don't say impressive sales record, because unless you give me actual numbers, I'm going to assume it's hyperbole. If you want that track record to be a positive, I need to know with a clear, measurable index what that means. Other than that, it's pretty much the same as a non-self-published author. I guess a debut, never been published before in any way author. It's it's great because it shows that you've written more than one book. Like, I love that. I love people who have more than one book in them.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, good advice. I think I have a lot of self-published friends, and, you know, I think it's always, you know, it's like, I feel like there was and can be a stigma about the self-published world. And so I just love to know, you know, get some tips for them as they query. And I think the major one that I always hear is don't query already published things, because nobody will buy them.
Yeah. It's not because we're not interested in them as people, as readers. It's because the publisher, you're getting an agent to sell your work. You're not getting an agent for any other reason. I won't be able to sell it. They don't want it. Like, editors don't want it. The publishing houses don't want it. I don't make up the rules. You know, it is what it is.
You mean you don't run everything behind the scenes?
Right. Can you imagine? If I did, let me just say that women will be paid more.
Yes.
Not the same. More. stories, like misogynistic stories, would not get any shut.
I love it. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So what else do you look for in an author? You've read the pages, you've read the manuscript, you're excited about the story, and you're on that phone call with them. What are you looking for in, you know, a business partner, basically?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. So I want someone who's enthusiastic, full of energy, who really wants this, but also realistic. So for example, I once, you know, spoke with an author, and I really liked their pages, and they told me, like, this will be a Netflix TV show. And I thought, well, that's great, that's confidence. But then, further down the conversation, it became clear to me that they actually, like, that's what they were expecting, and anything less than that would not be okay.
No.
And that's not realistic. Most books do not become Netflix shows. Do I want your book to become a Netflix show? Yes, of course. I would love that. I will work for that if the opportunity arises and if it makes sense, but that can't be your baseline. That can't be the thing you expect. So I want someone who's confident, yes, but not unrealistic. They can't be someone who's, you know, focused on the dream and not on the reality. Publishing a book, and that includes clearing an agent and working with an agent, is a collaborative effort. So agents will offer authors editorial notes. Together, they'll go through few rounds before submitting to publishing houses. Then if they're lucky enough to get a deal, the author will go through even more revisions with the editor from the publishing house. So it's very important that the author be open to constructive criticism and happy to collaborate. That does not mean that they have to make all the changes that the agent and the editor ask for. It is their baby. It is their work. It is their decision. But they should be open to it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always skeptical of knee-jerk reactions. Like, no, like, I'm not going to do that. Like, this is a really big thing. Like, what, won't you even listen? Won't you even consider? Like, take a few days, think about it. Because if we're giving you advice, like, there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
Again, it's your decision. Like, the author is king, of course. But I'm skeptical of anyone, really, not just authors, who instantly dismiss every criticism they get.
And I think it's something that authors, you know, have to realize as they go into querying and wanting to get their book traditionally published, is that you have a team of people who are looking at it with a different perspective, which is a great thing. Like, you know, the agent and the editor both have experience that the author probably doesn't, which is good. And I think it's something that, you know, as you transition into the querying process, you really have to start thinking about your little book baby as a shared baby, shared custody, and as more, you know, transitioning into that business sense of it too, which can be totally hard.
Yeah, like, it's still definitely your work, and that's very important. But, like, you know, if we're gonna use the baby analogy, like, if your child is your teacher at your child's school is telling you, you know, your child is struggling with this, like, you would want to listen to that teacher.
Exactly.
And if more than one teacher is saying it, then you definitely want to listen to them. You know, we're helping, like, our interests are aligned. Like, we all want to sell this. We all want this to be the next bestseller. Like, we all want the same thing. And there should be one person who decides, and that should be the author. But the author should be open to collaboration. It's so important.
Definitely. I think that's a very good thing. And I feel like that's what a lot of the agents who I chat with say. And it's a good reminder, because it's, You know, before I, you know, did a lot of research or started my podcast really and talking to other authors who have gone through the whole process, you know, you don't really think about it so much as that business relationship, and that you kind of just think, okay, I have my book, they're going to buy it and they're not going to change anything and it's going to get published. So it's good to just remind everybody that, you know, there'll be changes, but they'll be for the better and to make it, you know, do the best it can.
Absolutely. That's great advice.
So, thank you so much for answering all those wonderful questions about queries. I know the people who listen to these episodes, like, are die over them and write down all the information, and it is really helpful to them. So, now let's talk about what is on your manuscript wish list right now. What kind of stories are you really looking for and excited about?
So, I represent adult fiction and nonfiction. I love things with a feminist angle. That's pretty broad, though, so within that umbrella, I just want to be swept away by a good story. I want to be wowed by a plot twist that I don't see coming. I always see plot twists coming. I am very rarely surprised, and I don't mean it only in manuscripts. I mean in actual published books.
Yeah.
So if I'm surprised, I'm like, okay, this is good. I want stories about women defying the norms, being weird in a good way or in a bad way, being bad, being whatever they want to be. They want authenticity, and I feel like you can tell if an author is writing something that feels right to them. I often get queries, and people are writing what the impression I get is that they're writing what they think will sell.
Yeah,
don't do that. Write what you're passionate about. Write the book you want to read. It's the best advice you can give anybody. I just want a good story. I do not want any stories about dog dies, and I do not want any misogynistic sexist stories. I do not have to. That's pretty much it right now.
I love it. I think you're totally right. That it can be easy to try and, like, chase the trends of what's selling or what you think is going to sell, but it comes off so much better when you just write something that is close to you and very authentic. So I'm excited, and hopefully the people listening have some of those stories for you and can send them your way.
Yes, please do. I'll be so excited. And please reference this interview, like, if you
yes.
heard it, because I know that you'll have done the research. Like, I'll really appreciate that.
Yes, I love it when people do that. So my last question is my favorite one, and I'm assuming it probably will be your favorite one, too, since we are lovers of books. But I want to know what your favorite book is right now. This is not your favorite book of all time, by any means.
Oh my gosh. Hard question.
Yeah, just a book
I love recently.
I know, I love all the books, and I read too many.
Okay, that helps, because that narrows it down. So I just finished listening, actually, because I have a ton of audiobooks as well. I read, but, like, occasionally I'll listen to a book. Just finished listening to Gia Tolentino's Trick Mirror, and I adored it. Like, I recommend this book for anyone and everyone. It's one of the best things I've ever read in my life.
Awesome.
And I'm reading right now What Red Was by Rosie Price. And I'm enjoying it. Like, I'm still learning a name, but I'm enjoying it very, very much. So that's also, like, that's another, like, and that's fiction, right? And so I do prefer fiction. If I had to pick one, and I'm very glad I don't, it would be fiction. But I try to, you know, read a nonfiction book and a fiction book at the same time. So I guess these are my two favorites at the moment.
I love it. Well, thank you for sharing those. Thank you so much for chatting with me today and letting us get to know you and sharing your, you know, tips and tricks for queries.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you to everyone who's listening. And please reference this interview if you query me, because I will love to know that you heard it.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope you got some valuable information from Cecilia. I know I did, because she's wonderful. And be sure to check in with the podcast next Friday. There will be a new episode, and make sure to follow Cecilia, query her with what she's looking for if you have what it is. And as always, please rate and review this podcast wherever you may be listening to it if you can. If not, share about it. Let me know what you think, what you want to hear about. There's, you know, somebody you want to be on the podcast, or if you're an author or agent who wants to come on the podcast, that would be lovely. Go ahead and check me out at Rose Quinney, Q-U-I-N-N-Y on Instagram and Twitter. All right, guys, have a great week. Talk to you soon.